Hey, good afternoon, and welcome to the Senate Committee on Environment and Natural Resources for February 21st, 2012. And we're going to go a little bit out of order from the agenda. And we're going to start with House Bill 4050 today. So I'll go ahead and open up a public hearing on House Bill 4050. Beth, if you can provide an overview.
Mm-hmm. Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 4050 would eliminate the lottery system for the ocean troll salmon fishery, removes provisions that limit transfers to certain vessels of the permits, and it stipulates that the act does not affect the validity of permits issued or renewed prior to the effective date of the act. There is a fiscal statement in your packet, no revenue impact.
Okay, and we have a couple of people signed up, Nancy Fitzpatrick and Joe Rolater and Jim Myron. So you can all come up together.
Are you in trouble?
It's okay. We just started. Good afternoon.
Hello.
See you.
Thank you.
Let the lady start.
You lose. Nancy Fitzpatrick, Executive Director for the Oregon Salmon Commission, and I'm here in support of House Bill 4050, and the reason for that is with our salmon industry, it is a limited entry fishery with a cap of 1,000 permits. At this point, if there are any permits that are not renewed at the end of a calendar year, the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife is required to issue permits through the lottery system to bring that number back up to 1,000. Through discussions with the industry over the past several years, the fleet has looked at the lottery system and has decided that they would like to have that eliminated to ensure a better sustainable permit situation for the industry. And this does not eliminate any permits that any fisherman who wishes to keep their permit, all they have to do is renew it every year. So it's not eliminating anybody, it is maintaining those permits, but it is allowing the permits to decrease through attrition if they are not renewed each year. One of the other item in the bill would eliminate the 100-pound requirement, landing requirement in order to transfer your permit. If I have a permit and I wish to transfer it to another fisherman, I would have had to have landed 100 pounds the year prior. We've been in a disaster situation since on and off since 2006, and many fishermen have not been able to make that landing requirement but wish to leave the industry and therefore have not been able to transfer their permit. And so this would eliminate that and allow them to go ahead and transfer their permit and exit the industry.
Thank you. And we've had Representative Krieger join us, who is one of the co-sponsors, I believe, of the bill. So welcome, Representative, if you wanted to. I didn't know that you wanted to come kick this off, but we just started.
Thank you. For the record, I'm Wayne Krieger, State Rep of District 1. Nancy has really covered a lot of what's going on here. And the industry has been, as you know, declining over the years. But this gives a great opportunity for these permits to have greater value over time because they can either be sold when a commercial fisherman retires or transferred with his boat. And the fact that we're downsizing. And of course, she told you, I imagine, about, I didn't hear all of her testimony about the requirement for that vessel permit to be transferred within 5 feet of the length of the boat it's coming off of, which means it will help preserve these small boats in the fleet, which a lot of times the smaller boats are family-owned. They don't belong to a big corporation. And when you see the Troll Commission, when you see the commodity people, you see the commercial fishermen themselves, and the state legislators understanding this issue, I think it's a great opportunity to make a change that there's no opposition to.
Okay. And did you... I had a question here about... let me say, why don't you go ahead, Joe, and then I think I had a question to follow up from our discussion, Nancy, so I'll find that. Go ahead, Joe.
Senator Dinkfelder, members of the committee, my name is Joe Rolater. I live in Walport, Oregon, and I represent the Oregon Salmon Commission. I want to make it clear that this bill only deals with the ocean, salmon, hook and line fishery. It's something that our industry needs. We're overcapitalized. And it's something that happens in the evolution of every managed fishery in the world. And we're at the point where we need to reduce our size. And I appreciate Representative Krieger taking this forward, and thank you very much. I'll be here. I'm here all the time to answer questions if anybody needs to ask me.
Andy. You actually answered my question. I just wanted to make sure it was just limited to that fleet, not going to affect other fleets.
That's correct, Senator.
You were reading my mind. Okay. Any questions? Thank you very much. Thanks for bringing this forward. I think, Jim, did you want to add anything?
Thank you, Senator, and members of the committee. My name is Jim Myron, representing the Native Fish Society, and I wanted to just put the Native Fish Society on record in support of this bill. We've thought for a long, long time that it was did not make any sense to always require permits to be kept at the 1,000 level, even if they, people didn't renew them. So to continue to have a lottery didn't make much sense. So this is a good bill. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Myron? Okay. All right. Anybody else that would like to testify on this bill? On House Bill 4050. Okay, seeing none, we're going to close the public hearing on House Bill 4050. We'll open up a work session on House Bill 4050. Senator, would you like to make a motion?
Sure. Madam Chair, I move House Bill 4050 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Okay, Senator Thompson moves House Bill 4050 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion?
Just like to go on record as saying this is probably the first vote we've ever taken without a question from Senator Olson. Can that be put on a permanent record somewhere?
I think it is now, so okay. Thank you for that comment, Senator. Okay, the clerk will call the roll, please.
Senator Hatt.
Aye.
Senator Przonski.
He is excused.
Senator Thompson.
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson.
Aye.
Chair Dingfeld.
Aye. With that, the bill passes and the motion carries. We will have Senator Verger, who's the chief co-sponsor of the bill, who's agreed to carry it as our carrier. And with that, we will close the work session on House Bill 4050. And why don't we go ahead and open up a public hearing on House Bill 4072A.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 4072A would authorize the Department of Transportation and specific forest protective associations to enter into contracts to provide seasonal fire prevention and suppression personnel to perform off-season services. The bill has no revenue or fiscal impact.
All right, thank you. And we have four people signed up. Okay, and Rep. Escobal is not here yet. So we'll start with... Melvin Thornton and Mike Robison. Is that right? Welcome, gentlemen.
Welcome.
Good afternoon.
Thank you. Good afternoon, and my name is Melvin Thornton. I'm with the Douglas Forest Protective Association out of Roseburg, and with me is Mike Robison, the district manager with the Coos Forest Protective Association out of Coos Bay. Chair Dingfelder, Vice Chair Olson, and members of the committee, the two operating associations, Coos Forest Protective Association, Douglas, and the Douglas Forest Protective Association, appreciate the opportunity to provide testimony in support of House Bill 4072. A brief history of the association personnel participating in what we call the Fire and Ice Program. Basically, for many years, and at least since 1995, the Forest Protective Associations have actually, DFPA, CFPA, and there's actually a third one that's not here today with us, but is Walker Range Forest Protective Association, have provided personnel during the wintertime to Oregon Department of Transportation for winter work. And part of that was snow plowing and other road maintenance in the off-season. Each year varies, but a typical year would affect about a 15 association employees working for ODOT during the winter season. And most of our positions are seasonal in nature. In other words, we're dealing with fires in the summertime. And in the wintertime, they don't have work, or some of these folks do not have work. And so working with ODOT has worked very well in the wintertime. So they have winter work with ODOT, summer work with the associations. Most positions with the Forest Protection Associations also have significant training requirements and experience requirements. Winter employment through ODOT helps significantly to retain these people by providing them full-time employment as association employees. The Fire and Ice Program benefits all landowners and citizens of Oregon in the following ways. One, it allows retention of highly trained, highly skilled, and experienced firefighters as employees. It provides a ready workforce of skilled operators also for ODOT in the wintertime. And it benefits the Forest Protective Associations by retaining these employees. These highly trained and experienced firefighters often participate on fires on a statewide basis as first-line fire supervisors as part of the complete and coordinated firefighting system for Oregon. They are frequently also dispatched to other districts across the state with the Department of Forestry as additional resources for large fires or anticipation of multiple fires, such as when a lightning storm moves through the area. So in summary, throughout the years, we all thought we had the authority to work with ODOT, and this has been a long-term program, and all of us would like to continue it for the benefit of employees, all landowners, and the citizens of Oregon. We have visited with ODOT and the ODF, and they have also indicated support for the program, and both agencies recognizing the benefit of retaining the association employees. And as someone mentioned, it has no new cost associated with it or new positions with it. So if we can assist you in any way or answer any questions, why, we're here to help you.
Thank you. Mr. Robinson, if you wouldn't mind, I'd like to have Representative Esquibel testify.
Yes, and I wasn't going to testify. I was just here for support from
LNA. Oh, good. Thank you very much.
For the record, Sal Esquibel, Representative District 6, Medford. House Bill 4072 was requested by, maybe it had been outlined by, three fire protection associations. It allows the Forest Protection Association employees who work for the Department of Forestry in the summer to contract with the Department of Transportation in the winter. The three fire protection associations are the Douglas Forest Protection Association, the Coos Forest Protection Association, and the Walker Range Forest Protection Association. This program, known as Fire and Ice, has been operating with great success since the mid-1990s. The small group of Fire Protection Association personnel are highly trained in fire suppression and work with the Department of Forestry in the summer. In order for the Department of Forestry to retain these specialized employees in the winter months, Forestry has an agreement with the Department of Transportation for them to work with snow removal and other minor maintenance tasks during the off-season. During a recent Department of Justice legal review, it was discovered that the statute did not specifically allow employees to provide services that did not directly relate to fire suppression activities. House Bill 4072 allows the Fire Protection Association, Forestry, and Department of Transportation to continue the successful program and retain the highly trained individuals in the Department of Forestry has depended on for the last 15 years to fight their wildfires. The bill helps a small group of people, about 15 to 20, keep their jobs. The intent of this bill is to continue an existing practice between the Forest Protective Associations, Department of Forestry, and the Department of Transportation. No other state agency will be able to enter into these agreements or contracts. Amendments to the bill have been worked out that satisfy the initial concern raised by the Oregon State Firefighters Council and SEIU. This is a narrow bill that will provide a technical fix needed to continue the fire and ice agreements. House Bill 4072 is direct responsibility for keeping dozens of jobs in rural Oregon, and I hope you'll pass it.
Thank you, Representative. And Mr. Robinson, you didn't want to say anything?
No, I'm that's fine. Thank you.
Are there any questions? Senator Thompson? Senator Przanski? Senator Hess, do you have any questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Would Travis Medema and Lucy Moore please come forward?
Is
Either one.
Okay.
Madam Chair, member of the committee, pleasure to be here today. For the record, my name is Travis Medima. I'm the Deputy Chief of Fire for the Department of Forestry here in Salem. I passed around some written testimony, and just real briefly summarize that written testimony for you. And we've already heard from folks. This is a good bill. It is an attempt to clear and codify the authority that the three protective associations have and continue this 20-year-old plus tradition of cooperative work with ODOT. It has no fiscal impact, as folks have mentioned. This bill simply provides the necessary authorities that would allow the FPAs to enter into an agreement or contract with ODOT for this very narrow, specific work that we've been talking about, fire and ice. It is called the Fire and Ice Program, and basically is what it does is allow firefighters to work during the summer fighting wildfire and then work during the winter with ODOT plowing roads and opening up roads. It's like work. It's a really good concept and idea. We've been doing it for years. We worked collaboratively on the House side with labor, and I think the bill has got some great language that was a collaborative effort and well supported. From the department's perspective, it's a good bill, and the department hopes that you'll move this forward to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. I'll turn it over to Lucy and then could answer any questions that you have, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
And Madam Chair, members of the Commission, I'm Lucy Moore. I'm ODOT's Maintenance and Operations Engineer. This bill really allows us to continue with current practice and helps us retain experienced winter employees. And ODOT does not, there's no ODOT employees that will be displaced as a result of this bill.
I was going to say, you preempted my question, so you know I was going to answer that.
Glad we could do that, Madam Chair.
Great, thank you. Are there any questions for any of the panelists?
I have a comment. It's a pleasure to see a bill that has agencies work together for efficiencies that not only keeps our folks employed, but prevents our forests from burning down and prevents our roads from icing over in the wintertime. So this is a great bill.
Senator, thank you for bringing it. Thank you very much, sir. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Great, thank you. Anybody else that would like to testify on House Bill 4072A? Okay, seeing none, we will close the public hearing on House Bill 4072A.
You Canadian, A.
A. And I'll open up a work session on House Bill 4072A.
Chair Dingfelder, I move House Bill 4072A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Okay, Senator Olson moves House Bill 4072A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Okay. Clerk, call the roll, please.
Senator Hatch?
Aye.
Senator Thompson?
Excused.
Senator Thompson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Chair Dingfelder?
Aye. With that, the motion carries, and Senator Olson, would you like to carry the bill since
Sure.
your name's on it?
Sure.
Okay.
Glad to.
With that, we will close the work session on House Bill 4072A, and we'll open up our last public hearing for the day, House Bill 4006A. Beth?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 4006A. As affected cities, counties, private landowners, and local service districts to the list of parties that must be consulted prior to a determination that a species is listed as threatened or endangered, and requires the Fish and Wildlife Commission to work with affected cities, counties, private landowners, and districts to mitigate the adverse economic impacts of such determinations. There was no revenue impact, a minimal fiscal impact, no statement was issued.
Okay, we have Steve Grasty from Kearney County who's here. Doris Penwell and Jim Walsh. Why don't we have you all come up together? I didn't see Jim here. Okay.
He's left, but said he'd be back in a moment.
Okay. Well, I don't think we'll be too long, but all right. Thank you, Judge, for coming all the way over here. Hope your travels were smooth. Whoever wants to go first.
I'd like to. Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm Doris Penwell from the Association of Oregon Counties, and I also represent a group called the Community Renewable Energy Association, and we do a lot of renewable energy, smaller development projects around Oregon. And that's how I'm connected with this bill. I'd like to introduce Judge Steve Grasty. He's judge of the Harney County Court, and he's sort of been ground central on the issues that have taken place over the last year and a half that have developed this bill. So I want him here today to let you know, the background on this. As your administrator told you, this bill is fairly simple. It just asks that affected landowners, cities, counties, and special districts be at the table and consult with the Department of Fish and Wildlife when they are trying to prepare new or changed endangered species plans so that we can try to, however possible, mitigate the impacts of those new plans and therefore allow us to have new plans, but at the same time do what we can to allow projects to go forward that make sense to the communities that are there. You should know that after we developed this bill, during the time that we worked with the governor's Oregon Solutions project on sage-grouse habitat with the Department of Fish and Wildlife, the federal government, and environmental organizations. And we've had a good working relationship with them. We're still working on the project. Judge Grasky could tell you a lot about that. But during that time, we decided that it was probably smart to see what we could do to make the statute work so that everybody's involved as we move forward, so we don't have to have an Oregon Solutions project every time we have one of these issues come up. So those are the comments I'd like to make. I do want you to know that the governor's office and Fish and Wildlife were involved with us on developing the language, and they can speak to, you know, their how they feel about the bill, but I felt that it looked like we could go ahead with this wording in this committee. So, Judge Grasty.
Great, thank you, welcome.
Thank you.
It's like the big buildup, right?
Yeah. Senator Dingfelder, members of the committee, thanks. It's always entertaining and educational to come over and watch this process. And I don't think I've ever sat in on a committee meeting before where two bills were passed so quickly and so easily with lack of controversy as the last two. So I'm hoping for three.
I was like, it's always in this, like yeah, that in this yeah. committee.
So you have written testimony for me, but I just want to put this in context a little bit as I sit in a really tiny rural community and watch the world go by. Think about a time in government where we would have said, let's move people, populations of people away. Let's not let them have a voice at the table. Let's undermine their culture. And you can't even imagine that happening today yet. We know it happened in this nation, and it certainly happened in Harney County with the Native American folks. And I can tell you, since the Endangered Species Act came along, it feels like that sometimes sitting in the rural communities. And I think what this bill does is institutionalizes something that I think about 2 years ago, I began to feel like it was really happening. ODF&W bent over backwards to let us participate, us being communities, county government, to be at the table and work on the sage-grouse issue and primarily. But I think part of that happened because we began to push on this bill, and I apologize, but you'll find in my written testimony an error in that this bill did get to the floor of the House, and I say in the written testimony it didn't, but my memory's poor. But it did actually make it that far in the last session. And so I also want to be very complimentary of ODF&W, but I think we better institutionalize this. People change, personalities change, individuals change in our agencies, and we know that happens. And I think institutionalizing this is going to let us all have a voice, be a participant in those things that happen, and make sure that we really mitigate both for our communities and for a species if there's an endangered species listing. And I know communities are willing and ready to step up to that role and are going to be active participants in it. So again, I think this just institutionalizes what is, I believe, beginning to happen, and I sure ask you for to pass this out of committee to the floor.
Thank you. Questions for the judge or AOC?
Well, Your Honor, unfortunately, you were here before when Senator Thompson said I didn't ask any questions.
I think he was just. I think he was alluding to that one instance.
Yeah, it's time. I do have a question for you, sir. When it says that the ODFW will add a species to a threatened or endangered species list, is that a determination that ODFW would make or perhaps the federal government? And what happens if the federal government makes it?
So I know there are folks in the room that know this better than I do, but my understanding is that there are two processes. Without a doubt, there's an Endangered Species Act nationally in which a species can be petitioned and eventually listed, and that at least in some of the cases, there is a state list in which they're added to. So this applies to when any species might be added to the state list by the commission.
Thank you. Follow up? Mm-hmm. Now, the one word that I need a definition on is to mitigate. Now, how would we mitigate that? I mean, does ODFW, are they required to give you land or give you money, or how do we mitigate?
So, Chair Dinkfelder and members of the committee, we talked a lot about this, and it's actually on the record. This is not about money. This is not about giving land. This is about having a voice at the table. Every county has a comprehensive land use plan. If we sit down with that plan and, in the example of the sage-grouse, with the sage-grouse conservation plan, we actually did this a year ago and said, okay, how's this fit together? How do we mitigate means to lessen? How do we lessen the impact both on the environment and on the community? That's what this bill's about, us getting together and talking our way through it and figuring out how to balance those two issues that should overlap. They shouldn't conflict. But without having a voice at the table, they never get together. At least in the past, they haven't always gotten together.
Follow up?
Yeah.
Your Honor, you know, I agree with you. It's important to have local folks involved in decisions that are made about your local community. A lot of times they get made down here, and they're 300, 400, 500 miles away. And we as senators don't often get to go out there and see exactly what happens. And it's good that there's a bill that comes along that puts it at that local level where you guys can have the input and say, wait a minute, or this is what we think you should do. I support this bill.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions? All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, we have Margie Hoffman. Is Margie here? Jim Welsh. I haven't seen Jim come in yet. Okay.
Good afternoon, Senator Dingfelder, Chair Dingfelder, members of the committee. My name is Margie Hoffman, and I represent the Renewable Northwest Project. The Renewable Northwest Project is a group of nonprofit environmental organizations and for-profit businesses who are working to support policies to put our state on a clean energy track. We have helped pass things like the Renewable Portfolio Standard, which has been incredibly important in requiring electric utilities to meet new power through clean energy resources, and things like the Business Energy Tax Credit, which helped draw a lot of economic development both to urban areas and also rural areas throughout the state. As we have worked from 2007 to now, it's become more difficult to cite projects in rural areas. Species change, species patterns change, mitigation plans change. So we understand the need for balance. We have to put our state on a clean energy track. That's what we believe. But we also need to make sure that we're doing so in a smart way, in an intelligent way, that plans protect the species and water and other natural resources that we have in this state. The current lack of clarity around species planning and mitigation planning creates uncertainty in the marketplace, and it ends up increasing the time that it takes to cite individual projects. And if we can address BC's concerns and bring stakeholders to the table early in the planning process, then we can resolve a lot of the questions that come up on an individual case-by-case basis through siting of utility-scale projects. So this bill, Renewable Northwest Project, supports this bill to clarify that stakeholders involved in making these decisions can have a seat at the table so we can resolve the species mitigation issues all at once instead of on a case-by-case basis. So I encourage you to support this bill. Happy to answer any questions if you have.
Thank you. Yeah. Any questions?
All right. Thank you.
Anybody else that would like to testify on this bill? Okay. Going once, going twice. We will close the public hearing on House Bill 4006A, and we are going to hold the work session over until Thursday. We'll be reposting it, and we actually do not have any other bills at this time, but we will have work session posted on Thursday along with any other remaining bills, which will be our last committee hearing. And with that, we are adjourned.
We're out of here.